Hi, my name is Jen. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery.
Hi, Jen.
This is the threefold abstinence physical, emotional, and spiritual workshop. We have appointed a timekeeper. Thank you, John, for your service. Our anonymity is like our abstinence. It is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcasting media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away with you and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized pictures be taken. This session is being recorded and will not be edited. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous should use a fictitious name. Two hatters are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise by OA as a whole. We also ask that you do not record any workshop with cell phones or any other type of recording equipment. Our main speaker today is Adam D. He's not from Colorado. I'll let him disclose where he's from. But he is my brother in recovery, so I'm so excited to introduce him today. Welcome, Adam D.
Thanks, Jen. Hi, everybody. My name is Adam, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Where am I from? I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, but now I do live here in Colorado. I'll disclose that I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I don't own a home. My home is actually my truck. I live in the sleeper 5 or 6 nights a week. I sleep in the truck. I stay with family members around the country. Currently, I shack up with a woman that I met recently. So I do have a home now. I'm kind of qualifying it all out there. Where am I from? But these parts of my experience are really important to me. I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind. And in my work, I can travel about in this new life over the road and live with some harmony and some peace physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's a miracle. Years ago, let's see, how many years ago? About 5 years ago, I came to my first OA meeting. It was in January of 2013. I probably weighed about 60 or 70 pounds more than I do today. I've weighed 100 pounds more than I do today. And that's a big deal to me. Most of my adult life, I have that extra 100 pounds on me. What I weigh today, the size I am today, I don't know if it's being recorded. There's none of that. But I weighed this weight when I was in high school. So the physical transformation that I've experienced as a result of working this program is really a miracle for me. So that's a little bit about my early part. Some of that where I'm coming from. The topic, abstinence being threefold, physical, emotional, spiritual, I was like, what stuff am I going to talk about? What am I going to share? I want to sound good. I want to look good. We're all familiar with that. But I can honestly tell you what? Abstinence, physical, emotional, spiritual, abstinence. Question mark on that one, threefold. I understand abstinence in the doctor's opinion of the big book. The doctor stated that it was the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. That's to become neutral with the physical phenomenon of craving. I get that. I have physical recovery in OA today. I maintain this body weight. I have a plan of eating that I prescribe to my experience each day, one day at a time. I have a plan of eating that tells me what to eat, when to eat it, and how much to eat. So I have this new experience. I'm sober with food. I refrain. I engage in the action of refraining from compulsive food behaviors, from compulsive eating. I abstain in that regard. I refrain. I engage in the action of refraining. So what that's presented for me is a new experience. I've recovered physically. That's really it. Nuts and bolts for me. My body healed itself. I just had to show up each day and prescribe this program, and I've recovered physically. Action of refraining. Let's see here. Emotionally, abstaining emotionally from what? As I made progress, work in the steps, even the first step, setting aside what I thought I knew about when I should eat breakfast or how much I should eat for breakfast, challenging the decades of things I believed about what I needed for breakfast, what I had to have for breakfast, how much or when. I had to challenge all of those ideas and let go of them. The idea that emotionally I'm going to abstain from compulsive behaviors, I kind of stitch that into this idea of abstinence. I make progress. Again, the refraining, the action of refraining from compulsive, emotional. When I stopped eating the food, it was pretty insane. I was extremely emotional. Rage, depression. It was pretty bad. The change that took place as a result of engaging in these actions. Very humbling. Very humbling. Very painful. I basically had to recreate my life, and everything coming up emotionally, I had to replace that. Again, it's difficult to talk about this abstinence in three ways like this. But I can't have had the emotional recovery had I not gone through the painful processes of following a plan of eating, abstaining from compulsively doing what I did with food. It's just that simple. It's a path I had to follow. I'm not here to become abstinent. You know, that's. I'm not here to maintain an obsession with abstinence. You know, I can do that. But emotionally, I'll still be crazy. I can be compulsively nuts. Spiritually, I'm still empty. You know, physically recovering a body, emotional in my mind, I recovered. Spiritually, again, in my notes, I started writing down. There's another question mark with abstinence. As I make progress, understanding spirituality, having a new experience, a higher power now that I can access, that intuition that I've become open to. It's all again in the big book in the appendix 2, spiritual awakening. I have this source that guides me now. It's this newfound friend that I look to. I trust. I have confidence in it. All of this started with my work I did in step one with food, refraining from the action of refraining from compulsive eating behaviors and compulsive eating. There are some words in here in this our definition of abstinence. It's the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. I focus on that instead of identifying with that. I'm really into just bringing myself to the solution each day, trying to define that through my actions, surrendering myself in this process, while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. For me, that's another important part. Where am I physically? And then spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is the result of living the OA 12-step program. And I'm living that part of abstinence. I'm living that part of the recovery. It is truly threefold for me. I'm not just here to get a coin for following a plan of eating. I don't need that. I just don't need that. I wanted to have a whole new life that I could step out on the front porch each day with and have a good time, an appropriately good time. Be a father, be a boyfriend or a husband, be an employee or an employer, a friend, a neighbor, another person on the road. And this takes an extraordinary amount of work. That's my truth. That's my experience. Every day I talk to people in recovery, hours on the phone every day, and that's a gift. It allows me to continue in this action of refraining from self-reliance. You know, that's what's killing me. All the food, all the other craziness, that's just symptomatic of my separation from existing spiritually. Every day I wake up, I've got a question mark spiritually. Who's in charge? You know, that's my truth. The experience I have with food every day is such a gift. It's the reminder that I cannot do this alone. And I love that weakness. I love that. I'm dependent on the higher power. You know, it's just sanity. This is recovery. It's not just abstinence. I am not abstinent. I'm sober with food today. I engage in the action of refraining from compulsive food behaviors and compulsive eating one day at a time. I can go to meetings and get a coin. I can tell you how long I've been consistently following my meal plan every day and say I'm abstinent, but I don't really want to own that. I want to have a new experience that's of a spiritual nature. I want to just continue engaging in the actions that ground me spiritually and give me an entirely new life. That's kind of it. I didn't want to go on for a long time about this. I'm really curious to what some of you might have to say, experience you have, insight on this. And with that, I'll leave the podium for anyone else who wants to take it.
All right, we'll start with pitches from the floor. We ask that you stick to the topic of the meeting. We invite a few members wishing to share to please line up to the right of the lectern and step up to the microphone when it's your turn. Introduce yourself, tell us where you are from and how long you have been in OA. Pitches are limited to 3 minutes to allow as many as possible to share. Please remember that the session is being recorded and you have each signed the audio release at registration.
Change to 3 minutes now.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. Hello, my name is Pauline.
Hi, Pauline.
I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery from Galveston, Texas. And something that helped me, that my sponsor taught me, and that's helped me make my meals spiritual, because she suggested mindful eating at the very, very beginning, like 2.5 years ago, and I was like, we're not there yet. But what I am able to do today, because at my employer, it's a hotel, and they provide food. And so before I walk into the room where I'm supposed to select from things, I've learned to say a prayer. God grant me the willingness and the ability to follow my food plan. And that has helped tremendously. And so when I go, it takes it from, because I had to transform my diet mentality into a recovery and a meal plan, you know. So there's a lot of regrowth happening, and it's taking as long as it's taking. So I just want to share that it's been a tremendous help for me to move, to transition from one mentality to the next, to give me clarity, to know that to place it, to suit up, show up, but then do God's will, instead of, it's not my choosing. I don't feel alone when I have to go in front of the selection and make it. Some have suggested, well, what about taking your own food to work? Again, I'm just not there yet. I mean, I just know what I'm willing and not willing to do. And honestly, I'm kind of caught up on the money part. I'm like, I calculated how much money I save every month because my employer feeds me. And until I see it differently, that's where I am. So I just wanted to share that tip, asking for the willingness and the ability to follow my food plan in front of a selection.
Hi, my name's Teresa, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm from Longmont, and thank you, Adam, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And I wanted to say that I've been following a food plan myself and have been doing it to the best of my ability with God's help. However, I was placed in a situation this summer where I was going to be traveling abroad and I was not going to have control a lot of the time about my food choices. And so I actually had to get into a surrender place with God. And so for 2 weeks, to the very best of my ability, I was gluten-free and I was sugar-free. And that was the best that I could do. And so there was a lot of trust there in my higher power to help guide me along. And now that I'm back home, you know, it's a lot easier. But, you know, I was really powerless over choices when I was there. And so I just wanted to share that experience, and I came through it fine. You know, I wasn't tempted to eat desserts or whatever it was, you know. I did the best that I could, and, you know, gratefully, I didn't gain any weight, which was, I think, is really a miracle for me. And I haven't been at this very long. This is the third time I've been in OA. I realized I was in the 90s, and I came back in the 2000s, and then it was about almost a year ago that I came in again, realizing that, you know, I'm just powerless over controlling and managing my food. And so I'm just really grateful for this program, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Freya, gratefully recovering compulsive eater bulimic.
Hi, Freya.
Hey, everybody. I'm from Louisville. Thank you for the topic and for the share so far. And what just came to my mind was that when I first came into program, I was 19. I was in college, and I went to a very small school where I was eating in a dining hall. And so I didn't know what was going to be served. It was a small school, so I didn't have the... there was no choice but to, you know, to pay for the meal plan. What I learned from that experience is that, I mean, I came to meetings and I heard people saying, you know, well, you plan your meals in advance and you weigh and measure and you call them in, you know, you commit them. And I was just light years away from that. I was like, I don't buy my own food. I don't prepare my own food, you know, and worked out a plan with my sponsor that I would just have one plate, you know, one balanced plate and avoid obvious triggers. So I'm just brought back to that. And now I'm in a place in my life where I do, you know, I do all those things, and I can easily plan, prepare, commit my meals. But abstinence is not contingent on outside circumstances, or it doesn't have to be. And that if I am willing to do what is there for me, if I'm willing to ask for help, to take direction, to work with my fellows, I do believe that if I really turn my life and my will over to my higher power is not going to put me in a situation where, like, oh, you, sorry, you're screwed. You're not, you know, you're just out of luck on this one. So I was just reminded of that, so thanks for letting me share that. And the topic of physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery, they really are, you know, they are all intertwined. It's hard to separate them out because they all, for me, happen simultaneously. And spiritual recovery, just in a nutshell, is just being willing to have a relationship with God instead of trying to play God. So all the things that I thought I was in charge of, really letting God be in charge of that, which includes the running of my life, the running of others' lives, and the running of the world. God's way, way better at it. Emotional recovery for me is just the willingness to feel my feelings. And I lost a family member earlier this year, and I'm in the grief process, and it's very humbling, and it's, you know, just the feelings, like I never, you know, the feelings that I always wanted to run away from, and now having a concrete reason to feel them. Is that my time? Okay. I'm just so grateful to have recovery, because I know, you know, my sponsor says, just go to the feelings instead of trying to run from them, and God is on the other side, and it hasn't failed me yet. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful that I get to be abstinent in recovery.
Hi, I'm Marie, and I am gratefully recovered here in Colorado in Louisville.
Hi.
Thank you so much, Adam. Great to see you and great to hear you. Appreciate this topic. I loved what you said about self-reliance. That's what's killing me. And when I look at this topic of physical, emotional, and spiritual abstinence, the self-reliance is what killed me. And I was so unwilling for so long to have anybody give me my food plan. And I didn't want to let go of that control. And I was so terrified. And I felt so unsafe and that I was going to starve to death. And I really, really struggled with that because I was in self-reliance. And so finally, when I was able to get a food plan with a nutritionist who understood our program and our disease, I actually, the freedom from that, going in and finding the physical abstinence, the freedom from that was remarkable, and it opened up the door to be able to work on the emotional abstinence. And until I found that, until I got to that place, I wasn't able to work on the emotional. And the physical abstinence and following the direction from a professional also was safer. Like, all of a sudden, I felt safe. I felt safe because I had directions, information from somebody who knew. I didn't know. And then I could work on the emotional. But I really couldn't do any of it. I couldn't do the physical or the emotional without having the spiritual. So it is kind of that loop. Like, I have to have that connection to higher power and true trust and belief that I can work these things and do the work, but I can't do it on my own. You know, that has failed me time and time again. But when I got the physical abstinence, and when I believed that a power greater than myself would restore me to sanity, and I could work on these emotional issues and have emotional abstinence in my life and in my everyday life with relationships, as you said, then I could get to a place where I am operating like I'm having my life run in this total abstinence, and I'm totally connected and grounded and free. But it had to start with this physical piece of, like, letting go of my need for self-reliance and my need to call the shots. And it was hard, it was scary, and I trusted that God was there for me. And when it happened, like, as soon as I let go, the next day I felt safe and free. And that was the miracle of my life. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm Stacy, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm from Nevada, Colorado. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Adam.
I too looked at that topic and just kind of shook my head a little bit. I'm like, I don't understand. But that's okay. I can twist it. I was just thinking about my abstinence and my physical recovery. And, you know, because, you know, I didn't have a 100-pound weight loss or something like that. Sometimes that kind of throws me off. Like, you know, I wasn't fat enough. But I'll tell you what, I've been around the rooms of OA since, like, 1988 and didn't want to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And but I persevered. You know, I didn't come in and stay put, but I stuck around 12-step rooms. And I was very much aware, you know, doing these steps and kept coming. And then I found a big book sponsor in OA, and I was just like, oh, this is what I always wanted in OA, you know, and the fellowship that I crave. And you know, even though I still didn't find the abstinence that I have today until about a year ago, I knew I was getting closer, you know. I knew that I was in the right place, and I was with the right people. I was with my peeps now. I came and stayed in a way. And so, you know, and my physical recovery today is good. I'm strong. I'm fit. I'm normal size. I'd like to be skinny sometimes in my head, you know. So that's where the mental part comes, right? I need to treat... you know, this mind of mine, because I have this thinker that's broken, that's really broken, and so I have these wonderful steps that I get to take, and that's where, you know, the emotional sobriety comes in for me. You know, I can grow along spiritual lines and be more effective as a sponsor, and you know, and so when I take these 12 steps that I have a spiritual experience, I can keep having that. I can keep growing by continuing to do this. This is for a lifetime, you know, and that's how what happens for me. You know, that's how my emotional natures are way different than on page 52, you know, today. It's like I can go through grief, and I can go, you know, I've lost lots of family members, and I have people that are sick in my life, and I can grieve that, but I can still be abstinent. It's not a reason to, you know, to eat. Thank you, God, you know, that the food is not a solution today, you know. And I'm grateful to be here this weekend and just you know, put both feet and in a way and keep them here, you know. So that's all I have. Thanks.
I'm Mike. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't have an injury. Sorry. I like Stacy can twist anything in my mind too. So, thanks for saying that. For me, food is but a symptom. And but the amazing thing in program for me is how my attitudes towards it has changed through higher power. When I first came to program, I would not go to HOW meetings because they made you weigh and measure, and I would not weigh and measure. Damn it, that's dieting. I can't do that. So now I weigh and measure. I was shown an app about 5 years ago called MyFitnessPal, where you put all your food in it, and I tried that for a week, and it made me crazy, and I couldn't do it. And so now I use MyFitnessPal as part of my eating plan. I didn't think I had to report my food to anybody because I was self-sufficient, and I didn't have that happen. And I was blessed with having some roommates up at Fox this last time. Adam was one of them, and a sponsee of mine who's very opinionated like me is one of them. And we debated the issues around doing that, and now I call in my food every day to actually one of my sponsees. So it changes. This program changes, and a higher power intervenes to make us, or at least to show me a path. And I think a lot of times somebody said the thing about hitting and getting my attention by getting hit in the head earlier today, and that's how it works for me. I get my attention done where the pain is enough that I need to make the switch, and then I get to make the switch. And I am so blessed. When I look out at this room and see people that over the 8.5 years have been the the things that have changed my life, that if I've seen in them what I want for myself and have been willing then to do those things. And so that I'm just grateful for these rooms and the people in here, and for you, Adam, for what you shared with me 3 months ago. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater.
I'm Mary.
I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I've been in program for just a little over 15 years, and abstinence is my first meeting. But I do have to talk about that because I count myself as abstinent because in my heart I was, but I really wasn't. I was... I decided that I needed to do the 301, three meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. And the problem with that was that I was eating all the wrong stuff. And I was not eating much because I thought that that was what it meant. Don't eat very much. But I was eating sugar. I was eating flour. I was drinking alcohol. And I was starving. And I know now that if I hadn't made some drastic changes, I wouldn't be standing here now. I probably wouldn't even be alive. And but what I became willing to do, because I started working the steps right away, and I became willing when a sponsor asked me to take on a very structured food plan, to say, okay, I'll try it. Even though, Mike just said, that's just the kind of thing I couldn't even imagine doing. Because one of my problems was I thought that I would never, ever be able to do any kind of portion control. Because all the time I'd lost weight many, many times before, I had done it by binging on low-calorie food. So anyway, I adopted this food plan, and I became truly abstinent. And I think it was very important that I was working the steps side by side, because the way I ate became a metaphor for how I worked my program, and the way I worked my program became a metaphor for how I ate, and both of them required a lot of honesty, and that just became kind of a cross practice for me, and that really enhanced my ability to grow spiritually and emotionally. And then the one thing I did want to say, just as I've been listening, OA's website has a, you can find it in documents, and it's a format for a workshop called, I don't know the exact title, but it's Food Plan and Abstinence Are Not the Same Thing. And you can go and you can look at that, and you can see a lot that relates to the discussion we're having today, including some handouts. And there's a document called Handout Number 3, gives a whole list of questions we can ask ourselves about our abstinence. So I just wanted to pass that on in case you hadn't heard about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi. I'm Val, compulsive overeater from Denver. Coming to Overeaters Anonymous for over 35 years without stopping, without leaving. 35 years. Wow. So, that being said, spiritual recovery was probably the first thing for me. I came in to program already a meditator. I first learned how to meditate in college. And for the last at least 5 years, I've been meditating every single morning without fail. I do not get out of bed except to go to the bathroom. Then I meditate. And honestly, I don't know how I did without it before. I really don't. I mean, how it was just a sometimes thing before, because I am so reliant on it at this point. I just don't know how I would get out of bed and do my day without making that connection first. So I've been in program all these years, and for probably 30 of those years, every evening I wrote down everything that I ate during the day, and very gently would circle things that I had questions about or write things about, that just trying to get it to be right for me. And some years ago, I'm not good at time, sorry guys, I was sitting in a meeting and I realized that whereas I had turned everything in my life over to God, everything except my food. And I, in that meeting, became willing to be willing to turn my food over to God too. I mean, I had trusted God with every single thing in my life that I was aware of, and suddenly became willing to turn my food over as well. The next day, my abstinence showed up like a flash of light. I mean, I literally had this thought, went down and wrote down six or seven things that were going to define my abstinence, and they were all about behaviors. They were not about food. Which is not to say that I suddenly had license to eat whatever and whenever. But it was more for me the behaviors. I had to not eat when I was standing on my feet. I had to not eat after dinner. I had to not eat if I was in bed. It was behavioral. And so I just really needed to make a pitch for that, because I know it says that we stayed away from foods that are our triggers and behaviors that were problems. And for me, that's what's been defining my abstinence since. I no longer write my food down because God's in charge of my food. But I also don't eat once I've shut my mouth after a meal for at least 2 hours, because the nutritionist said can't be about hunger if it's within 2 hours of having eaten. So I still pretty much eat the way that I was eating before, but I feel much cleaner, because the abstinence I have now is very black and white. Whereas with the food, it was like, well, maybe not so much cheese, and maybe not. It was always imperfect. And now I have an abstinence that is easy. It's like, yeah, are you sitting down? Okay, good. So.
Hi, I'm Kat. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Yes.
And I'm terrified to be standing up here and talking on recording. But I have really struggled in the last few years with just the physical allergy, you know, not being able to put down the food. And recently I don't know if I had a spiritual awakening or what happened for me, but I'm not questioning it. I'm you know, thanking God for it, and trying to work through these steps as fast as I can so I can have some sanity and some emotional sobriety. You know, for me, I came to terms with kind of accepting my body when I was younger. I was a little heavier, and I just hated my physical self. And as I got older, I came to terms with that without being in program. But I realized, you know, I was doing like Ironman triathlons and crazy, you know, exercise bulimia, really. And after I kind of got that out of my system, I was like, I need to figure out a way to have sanity. I can't keep pushing my body like this, because it's not about the physical recovery. It was about the emotional recovery for me, that I needed the sanity in my head. I was just crazy thinking about food, and the whole, I always knew there was the hole, right? And it's the God size hole that needed filling, but I was stuffing it with, you know, pizza and ice cream and whatever else. And so to come into these rooms and admit, you know, that I am powerless, it's a power bigger than me that I need to be willing to follow, and to have that emotional, spiritual, physical recovery, I'm just so grateful to be here and to be on this journey. That for so long I just was like, why can't I get it? Like, I want to get it so bad. Like, what's wrong with me? You know, what do I need to do? Somebody tell me what to do and I'll do it. But it wasn't about that. It was about like letting all of that go. Like, just being open to that it's not me. What is God? I don't know, but it's not me. It's something else, something bigger. And just being willing to let that guide me, and hopefully be there someday to help other people. in their recovery and their journey. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
My name is James. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
And I have neutrality. It comes to sugar and grains. I've been neutral since December 24th. I think I'm up here because you need to be involved in my recovery, because I cannot do it myself. And I think I want to isolate and not be and be and essentially remove myself from others and do it myself. And that's really not what this program for me is about these days. It's about being present with other people, inviting other people in and being of service. That's kind of what my program is all about these days, is trying to be of service, staying out of the way and being of service. That's kind of what the next journey is for me. The new beginning is really to extend myself. So thanks for being here.
Thanks,
James. I'm John. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I have been in OA for about 7 years. I shared last time. I am from Denver, Colorado. And for me, this is a great subject. Thank you very much, Adam, for your share. To me, I think that I've always referred to abstinence as the three-legged stool. I'm sure many of you have heard of that before. And it was such a strong mental image for me, the idea that you cannot support yourself on a stool without all three legs intact, right? You need physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery. And in order to do that, you have to constantly work the steps, work the program, talk to your sponsor and everything else. But I really struggled to keep my three-legged stool intact, so to speak. I struggled to keep all three of those things strong to support myself. And just recently, a couple of months ago, I sort of had this other funny analogy pop into my mind of the game Whack-A-Mole, which I'm sure some of you have heard of, where you take a mallet and you whack one thing, but then another thing pops up. And you whack one thing, and then another thing pops up. And so for me, that was kind of how it was for Whack-A-Mole. I would whack the physical recovery, and then all of a sudden the emotional and the spiritual would pop up. And then sometimes I would try to whack, you know, and just kept going on and on, etc. And so to me, the biggest way that I figured I can solve that issue of trying to play whack-a-mole with myself in my own head is to let go of the hammer and let God take control. Let go and let God. Let my higher power take the wheel. I cannot do this thing on my own. If I try to play whack-a-mole for the rest of my life, it's going to be an ongoing game of nothing. I need to figure out a way to turn it over. And that's where that self-reliance piece comes into play. And for me, self-reliance has also been a very challenging issue. I'm very much a control freak, and I've identified that more in the last couple of months as well than the rest of my life. So I'm going to let go, and I'm going to choose to turn it over. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you, Adam, for your share. Thank you for everyone for participating. I think that's how I heard stated today by another member, is that we learn from one another, and that's the power of these rooms. It's the power of reaching out to each other when we're not in the rooms. That's something I've learned from you. I was like, my buddy's a truck driver. I can call him anytime. Save my life. I'm not kidding you. Save my life. So there is a solution. We just need to reach out and be with one another. Let's join hands for a moment of silence for the still compulsive overeater who still suffers.